With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we reflected on the third round of the FA Cup and Danny Kelly joined us. We covered all manner of things, including a bit of VAR. Andy's a touch concerned about Chelsea's current form, reading between the lines. So he'll tell you what he made of that and looks at the forthcoming fixtures. We had some clips of the week pewter from 2004.
Yeah, we're good.
There was a couple of old school classics in there, so you'll hear them. And I reckon that should just about do you, don't you?
I'd say so.
Anyway, here it all is. Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs were this afternoon. Andy has just told me he's deaf in one ear, which bodes well. The cough's slightly better.
Slightly anyway, better, Andy, but not much.
Look, it was losing to City playing like that is no disgrace, but 3-0 at half-time.
Yeah, the way they played was a disgrace. It's just not happening. Just get rid of him, honestly. It's not working. It's not going to work. The longer you leave it, the worse it will be. That's the way it is. And I don't know, you know, I fear what will happen if we don't get rid of him. Because I don't know if the Americans, they realise it's not the NFL. We do have promotion and relegation in this country. Perhaps they haven't worked it out yet.
He's been pretty unlucky, though, Navini.
He's eight different formations in 17 games. Look, they've got 10 players out, but they've still got full internationals. He's not getting a tune out of the players he's got. That's the problem. Yeah, of course they've got injuries and all that, but that's not an excuse. You know, even a National League team would have gone to City and given them a harder game yesterday. They would have fought. There was no fight. There was no anything. It was so poor.
What is your expectation? What should he be doing, considering all the players that he's got missing?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm just get them playing with a bit of spirit. And decide on a system, decide on some play, and stick to it. It's so scattergun. Every day, every week, there's a different formation. I mean, eight formations, starting formations in 17 games is not the way forward. It isn't. You know, but look, talk about
if he
that.
Had all, I mean, he's clearly got a team in mind and the way he wants to play, if he has all of his players available.
Well,
but he hasn't. I mean, look, nobody always gets all of their players available, but look, 10 injuries is pushing it a bit.
I didn't mind, you know, when they played the other night, they gave it their all right, they lost the game, but they could have got a draw out and they played quite well.
Yeah.
But yesterday, it was like the game against Forest. You know, the away performances under Potter are terrible. I mean, that is just completely unacceptable, the way they capitulated, the whole thing, you know. I don't know. I can't see it. Perhaps Todd Bowley wants to be in the National League like Ryan Reynolds. God knows. I don't know. Well, stick to him. I'm sure it'll work in the end.
Blue square within 5 years. Honestly. That's what he's effectively saying.
I was interested in Pompey.
Andy, you're not going down. You're not going down.
I can't see where they win a game in the next... I've looked through the fixtures. I can't see it. I think the warning signs, I mean, Palace aren't in great form. They've got Palace on the weekend.
Yeah.
They won't beat Fulham at Fulham. I mean, they'll get done. And if they can't beat Palace at home on Sunday, I think he's in big trouble and they're in big trouble. And there's only so long they'll put up with it, however much they're backing him. You know, they're not stupid. They don't want to see their asset disappear. It was the wrong appointment. It was the wrong appointment at the time. They should have gone for Pochettino. That's what I wanted, and they didn't.
Let's get your predictions. Fulham, Thursday, at Fulham.
Lose.
What's the score going to be?
2-3-0.
Okay. Palace at home on Sunday. Palace is just going for a bad run.
Maybe a 1-0 win. Maybe.
Okay. Liverpool away.
I'll lose, even though Liverpool aren't great either. But, no, they'll lose that.
Fulham again at home, Friday night.
They'll lose that as well.
Okay, fair enough. West Ham away, Saturday lunchtime.
Possibly a draw.
Oh, OK. Yeah. Sorry, West Ham fans.
Yeah.
Dortmund, then, in the Champions League.
Oh, no, they'll turn up for that, the players. They'll bother with that one. They'll
so you think you'll go down but make the final of the Champions
League? It could well happen, actually. It's absolutely possible.
Fantastic. Oh, playing in the first Championship side elect to win the Champions League
final. It
could
be, yeah. Tremendous.
Southampton at home. Come on, Andy.
Yeah, they'll probably win that one.
Spurs away, 3-point lead.
No, they won't win that.
Okay, fair enough. And then Leeds at home. I'm not going to take you all the way through. 4th of March, I've got you too.
I don't know, maybe. Possible draw.
Might have some players back by then.
They only need 15 points to stay up, so they should be able to manage that. But it's hard to see where the next point's coming from the way they're playing.
Ridiculous.
But it's not just that. It's I just don't think he's right for the job. Mm. You look at his record. There was no way on earth Abramovich would have appointed a manager that the best he'd ever done was ninth in the Premier League. Mm. You know, if you accept that Chelsea are a big club, he's not a big club manager. He just isn't. So, fine, anyway, we'll talk more.
Who would you like to come in, then? I mean, I've seen a couple of people suggest, their old mate Spencer Millwood, I think, was suggesting, a big Chelsea fan like you, friend of the show, suggesting John Terry to the end of the season.
Well,
a bit out of left field.
At least they'd go out with a bit of fire in their belly. I'm going for Steve Evans.
Well, he's got a bit of fire in his belly. We'll find out from... He's gone. We'll find out from Jamie Reid a little bit later on. Of course, playing under him at Stevenage, and they got a fantastic win.
They did. That was a great performance.
At the weekend against Aston Villa to pull it back quite late on, to nick it at the end. Rupert Bell. His monocle fell out. He was that angry.
Poor defending by Villa for the winning goal.
Popped out.
Terrible. Anyway, Portsmouth caretaker manager Simon Bassey has said that if Harry Kane had been playing for his side, they would have likely to have won it.
Yeah.
And of course, Kane is a diamond, or as Aunt Shirley would say, diamonds are forever.
That's right. Yeah. He must, I mean, as a player over the years, he must have been known as Shirley in the dressing room. I would have thought so. I mean, imagine that's lost on, if any of the young players in the Pompey team say, what was your nickname, Gaffer? Is that Shirl? No, I don't get it.
And who at the Portuguese FA looked at Belgium for the last five or 6 years and thought, that's the bloke we want?
Yeah,
that wasted the golden generation. Let's get him in quick.
We've got some cracking young players coming through that we're keen not to succeed. Hello, Roberto.
Honestly.
Any chance you can come?
He must do a great interview, PowerPoint or something.
People, yeah, I imagine he is. I reckon he has all that stuff where there's wipes, there's stuff spinning in.
Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it?
I bet the graphics are quite modern.
I don't understand. Yeah. I mean, Portugal are, you know, they produce some of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah.
Are you telling me there isn't somebody within Portugal that could coach the national team that they have to go for Roberto Martinez, a failed bloke in the Premier League and a failed international manager? What a great decision by them.
Wow. Andy Brassel knows his Portuguese football, and I think he may defend Roberto Martinez slightly more than you did. So we'll, which won't be difficult if you're in that kind of mood, and deaf in one ear at the moment.
I know.
So we will be chatting to Danny Kelly to kick things off. A good look back over the FA Cup weekend and all the talking points from it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, I feel like I've been beaten around the head by goals. I mean, they're just... every third round, when you watch the two match of the days, it's just so many goals as Quinny's mate.
Oh, Mickey! So many goals.
It's just... You can't take them all in. You take the important ones in, but there's so many that I couldn't do a quiz on the amount of goals. It seemed a lot, Danny. I've not looked at the Opta stats on it, but it did seem like there was a lot of goals. Maybe just sides thinking, let's get this done. We don't need another replay. Doesn't matter what division we're in.
First of all, I'm still recovering from the shock of a Chelsea player I'd never heard of, Tor Lozel. I honestly thought you had a player called Tor Lozel for a second there.
Do you know what I mean, though? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. The goals, do you know what? If there'd been the old FA Cup third round, if it had been literally... You know, the first game of the new year, you could say the players, as they had done in the past, have been partying. You know, that's not the case at the moment, is it? We are into the second game of the season, I don't really know. The organisation of teams at every level is so enormous now that the slightest changes, and there were a lot of teams made a lot of changes, not just the Premier League teams, probably leads to disorganisation and then maybe all these goals. That's all I can put it down to.
No, you're probably right, actually. We should have a chat about VAR this weekend.
Drives me mad.
As well. And the main issue, which we've talked about on the show before, and I just can't understand, is why VAR works in some games because it's available in Premier League stadiums and it's not used in others. Sure, look, there's been a lot of talk about the FA undermining its own competition by having semi-finals at Wembley. Surely the ultimate undermining of a tournament is that it's not a level playing field.
Different playing conditions. You might as well have one team playing on grass and the other team playing on concrete. I mean, it's ridiculous.
We saw goals this weekend chalked off that wouldn't have been had VAR been available. So it makes for an unfair tournament. And the FA always say, well, look, when it's available, we'll use it. Well, why? It from the semi-finals. When both semi-finals are at Wembley, it's a level playing field, and that's when they should use VAR. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, no, it is ridiculous, Paul, but it's also indicative of the ongoing chaos of the VAR. They cannot seem to... It's like whack-a-mole. Another problem emerges. They deal with that. Another one emerges. They deal with that. There hasn't been enough joined-up thinking about this at all. And, you know, you get a situation like the goal at Liverpool, which I'm sure you want to come on to. Not only was it wrongly disallowed, it seems, but today the Liverpool Echo has produced a picture from someone's phone in the crowd to prove the point one way or the other. I mean, where are we going with this? Artist impressions of the goals. I mean, it's like courtrooms now. I mean, we'll have somebody drawing them very quickly on the seats, not the terraces. And Howard Webb, who I think is a pretty good, you know, I expect great things from Howard Webb, but he really has got, in all seriousness, and I know this programme doesn't always go the serious route, he has got a real problem here because the credibility of the English game, the game that turns up so much money, so much passion, so much emotion, is at stake here because before, when the referees made mistakes, the Lions people made mistakes, we put it down to incompetence. The problem with the mistakes they're making now with the help of technology, is that it's very easy for the conspiracy theorists, and believe me, there are plenty of them out there, to start up with, oh, the big clubs, oh, the big clubs, oh, the big clubs. He's really got an issue. They need to try and make sure that VAR works across all grounds the same, and that it works.
Absolutely, but also the laws of the game need amending. The offside law is daft. The handball law is daft. You know, that one with Salah. The player doesn't go to head it. If his Salah isn't behind him, he doesn't go to head it. He's offside in any way of looking at it. Excuse me.
And Andy, you're pushing an open door here. The old rule about, not having to be interfering with play. Anybody who's played the game, even on Hackney Marshes, knows that, and I played at the back, so I know what I'm talking about here. Your position is partially to do with your teammates and partially to do with the opposition. So if they're behind you and they're offside, you're moving backwards or forwards away from them, and the phase thing is all wrong as well. They need to simplify all of this. I'm not suggesting they have to go back to the old rules because, you know, we're moving forward, hopefully, with the game, but they cannot have it that professionals and pundits don't understand the phase rules and the handball rule. It's just making a laughing stock of the game. And I'm sure, except of course, that Wolves fans are not laughing.
I mean, if you look at the West Brom game as well, Thomas Asante, it ended up a draw, didn't he? He should have seen red. If that had been, in that game, if they had VAR, then Chester would have gone through it. It's just completely skews the competition.
Chesterfield.
Yeah, that...
Chesterfield, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Chester would love to be at this stage of the competition at the moment, I would imagine. Yeah, I mean, look, as I said, there's a lot they need to look at. And as I said, the idea of VAR for some games, not others, is criminal. They're not going to change it now because that really would skew the competition. But I think if there's enough pressure brought to bear, they should review it. Just because you've got something available doesn't mean you should use it, Danny.
Another good reason is Peter Wharton thinks it's a good idea and that using the system at Premier League venues is better than not using it at all. So you know it's a bad idea.
So wrong. You couldn't be more wrong, Peter, could you? Let's bring Peter Wharton in here, so let's not bother.
I mean, I know there will be people who say, but there were seasons when we played FA Cup games on grass and some on artificial turf. But that doesn't happen anymore because it wasn't right either.
No.
FIFA used to say the game has to be the same across every level, from Hackney Marshes to the Maracana. That's not practical.
No.
The professional game is a different sport now from what people play for their leisure on the local rec. But within the professional game, you have to have the rules, the conditions the same for every team. Now, there are variables like the weather, of course, we accept that, but the things that are controllable, and this is the issue, the stuff with VAR is in the control of the authorities. And yet they've allowed themselves to get themselves into this position where Paul, a much more reasonable man than me, a much more reasonable man than Andy, is irate.
That's my two bugbears, if I may call them that.
Double bugbear, okay.
The double bugbear is that, and people being people being catapulted into the Europa League when they've been booted out of the Champions League. Two things that should never, ever happen in football. Appalling, anyway. That's for another day. And we're going to look at the winners and losers of the FA Cup third round. Nine Premier League sides, effectively, when you look at the one of them going out in the Liverpool Wolves replay. That's nine teams from the Premier League going out. We'll look at some of the reasons behind that. And look, at, as we said, at the winners and losers of the third round weekend with Danny Kelly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The winners and losers. Nine teams, as we were saying just before the sport there, Danny. Nine Premier League sides effectively will go out in the third round. I wonder what we should read into that.
I guess it another example of, the Premier League teams don't take this tournament entirely seriously until they get to the middle stages of it. I also thought the draw... a lot of Premier League teams drew teams from lower divisions who were in terrific form. We'll get on to that. And, of course, one who were in really bad form but still managed to win. I'll get on to that as well. They drew form teams so that not putting out your absolute starting 11 risked running into a group of fit, young, professional footballers who are averaging 2 points a game, which will fill them with confidence. So I was expecting a few upsets in this round of this because of the way the draw went, but not as many as there were, to be truthful.
I thought that Sheffield Wednesday against Newcastle was the shock of the round. I couldn't believe it wasn't the first game or match of the day. It was a strange idea. They wanted to do non-league against league, that section. But that was the biggest shock of the round. I mean, Newcastle have been in great form, playing a team two divisions below them.
Yeah, you mean that's the one where you had two teams are in terrific form, because Wednesday are also really in very, very good form indeed. And the Newcastle fans will be pretty disappointed about this, because the statistic is almost painfully familiar. They haven't won a trophy since 1969, Bobby Moncur and all that. Now, they're still in the quarterfinal of the Carabao Cup, but they would have seen, particularly with the, as Paul's pointing out there, the sort of the seeds falling quite quickly in this first round, they would have seen this as a real opportunity to turn the new investment into a trophy. And in a kind of slightly Newcastle way, they've come a cropper, haven't they? But Sheffield Wednesday are nobody's mugs. Newcastle should beat them, of course. But, there you have it.
You mentioned the draw, and it does seem the draw just sort of gets a bit thrown away these days, the draw itself. I mean, I don't get all misty-eyed about 1 o'clock on the only on the radio, only at 1 o'clock on a Monday after
You do want to get misty-eyed about it.
I do want to get misty-eyed about that, because I remember...
Yeah, it spoils it. I mean, I saw the draw, and I saw that even if we beat Man City, we've got Arsenal. You think, what's the point, really? And it's, don't do
well,
that.
You don't think they can beat anybody.
Well, I don't.
That's true. He's got them in the blue square. But, yeah, it's true. It kind of does get slightly thrown away, doesn't it? Sort of 4:05, still games to be played. There it is. This is the next round, even though quite a lot of games haven't been decided yet from the round before. I mean, look, I'm not saying do what the Carabao Cup does, you know, do it live from the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which or from a car park in Rio. They're just looking for quirky ways. But, you know, you could make a bit more of an event of it. And they have for a while. It used to be sort of 7 o'clock on a Monday evening. They'd take over the one show. So you'd have a bit about Vols. Yeah. And then, you know, Mel Brooks would come on and promote his film. Then we'd have the FA Cup draw. But at least it felt like they were putting a bit of effort in. It does slightly get slung away these days.
I mean, again, this is down to the FA. They complain bitterly that the Premier League is all-powerful, all-dominant, is destroying all other competitions. Here they have an opportunity to make something, you know, perhaps not the grand event that it was in your youth, Paul, but to make something of the draw. Mm. And I don't know whether it's the TV companies are dictating when it is, but I agree with you. Let's have all the ties. I mean, it would be good if it was tonight, after we knew largely who was through. And, you know, obviously maybe Chelsea would have got a better draw tonight as well, Andy. So
you'd have been a bit happier. The Blackpool Forest game was fascinating as well. It doesn't say much for Forest summer recruitment, does it?
No, I mean, he made 11 changes result. And they got a coating, didn't they?
Well, I put one word in my notes next to that one, just mess. Because Blackpool are really in terrible form themselves. And that was one where I thought, you know, this is the case where the Premier League team should turn up. But he has not. The first 11 are not in proper coherent shape after their extraordinary purchasing during the summer. So what would you expect from the 11 reserves but to go out there? Now, I know, you know, people say, don't they train together and all the rest of it? But you can't, you know, train together is not the same thing as playing, again, against a professional team that's motivated. Although, you know, no matter what, however you try and slice this, that is just a terrible result for Nottingham Forest. Well done, Blackpool.
The interesting thing in Forest is they're so different away from home. I mean, fans shouldn't make that much difference. You know, I know the fans at Forest are great, but, you know, it's incredible the difference, the way they play at home and the way they play away. Amazing. I'll tell you who has impressed me.
Who's that?
Vincent Kompany.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh,
he's a Pep disciple, and the way that Burnley's second goal was very much an unselfish City-style goal.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because it feeds down into the mindset of fans and clubs around defeats maybe in the FA Cup. So we're just talking about Newcastle. Hmm. Newcastle fans will be disappointed with that. They would have liked a cup run. The team are going well, and they would have probably thought that we could manage a good cup run, maybe win a cup, and also get in the Champions League this year. So they'll be disappointed. Forest fans might be thinking, yeah, I would have liked a cup run, but it's more important we stay in the Premier League. Let's concentrate on that. And, yeah, maybe Bournemouth. I mean, Bournemouth needed to get a win just to start to turn things around because the narrative is getting a bit...
I like the way Andy's torn at the running order here, so my thoughts
are... He's gone free for him. He's like Ornette Coleman today.
It is Ornette. Very, very good choice. I'm going to do it now as well. I mean, if the Bournemouth and Burnley result is the opposite to the Southampton result at Palace, where, you know, Nathan Jones needed something. They've got to stop the rot somewhere.
Yeah.
They've done it, even though they don't need to be in the FA Cup. They need to concentrate and stay in the Premier League. Bournemouth... you know, you say they could be glad to be out of it, but I mean, I've got to be honest. You ask any Nottingham Forest fan, did you really want to lose at Blackpool? You ask any Bournemouth fan, I mean, brilliant though Burnley are at the moment, and they are brilliant. You know, do you want to get beaten at home by a team from a division below you? And you know, they can do all the chin stroking and computerizations and clipboards they want about their chance to stay in the Premier League. Nobody wants these results.
No.
Although, you know, and Nathan Jones had to get something and got it at Palace.
But yeah, Bournemouth and Burnley are swapping places at the end of the season. That's plainly obvious.
That's my belief.
One thing I love about the third round of the FA Cup Match of the Day is the opportunity for commentators from like BBC Radio Shropshire. It's their real moment in the sun, especially like the first game, the Coventry Wrexham.
Yeah,
he could never have thought he'd be first on Match of the Day.
That's what can happen. Look at what he did for Motti's career all those years ago. You get an upset. I mean, without Hereford beating Newcastle, Motti may not have had the stellar career that he
did. That's true.
They're the margins, even for the common. That's the magic of the FA Cup from a commentary point of view.
It's possibly the magic of having Hollywood owners as well.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it's a great game and a fun game to televise. And, you know, seven goals is always attractive. But Wrexham's profile is just exponentially bigger now than their actual achievements, historically or currently, because of their owners. I think it's great. I don't know what involvement they actually have, the two actors with the day-to-day running of the club, but I think it's been an absolute joy to watch Wrexham respond so well.
I mean, if you look at the profile of the players that they've been signed, I didn't know Elliot Lee was there, I've got to be honest. I mean, he's a championship player.
That was
player,
a lovely really. Goal, wasn't
You'd
it?
Say sort of, you know, top, bottom 10 of the championship is his mark. I mean, Paul Mullins is what? He's a League One player. They've got a lot of League One and Champ. They've had players, a player there has played five games for Hull this year. They've just signed. I mean, you know, if good luck to Stockport holding them off. Sorry, not Stockport, Notts County holding them off this year, because the profile of the players they sign are not National League a lot of the time.
No, you're getting a repetition here somewhat of the Salford experience, aren't you? Hmm. Where a club gets owners who are slightly more ambitious and well-heeled than those around them. And, of course, that works. The lower down you go, with all due respect to Newcastle, the lower down you go, the more that works. If you can bring in players at that level who are perhaps, you know, not to use the phrase, slumming it, you will get results. Coventry, I would make the point, you know, people use the phrase Spursy. Coventry are a team who, for the last 10 years, if they can find a nail on the floor to step on, they'll find it. Every single thing they try to do goes disastrously wrong. And so, of course, if you say, so what non-league team will win away from home? I say, are Coventry still in the competition? Are they? Because it'll be Coventry, won't it? God bless them.
We should talk a bit about Palace, who are on a pretty ropey run at the moment. And
they'll be all right on the weekend.
Okay, yeah, we'll come on to
Chelsea. They're playing their joker, are they?
We'll let Danny have his say on Chelsea with a bit of distance on it that, of course, we can't get from Andy. But, yeah, so what is that now? 1-1 in their last five games, and at home to Southampton, that's a game pretty they should be winning. I wonder if, you know, sometimes a cup defeat can can set you on a bit of a bad road. I'm sure Palace fans will be hoping that isn't the case.
I don't really understand it. I mean, you look at Palace and you know, as I say, the transformation from the sort of stodgy dad's army that they had under Roy Hodgson has been transformed. I mean, their front four looks absolutely full of skill and, in Eze's case, effort and running. You'd think there would be a problem for everybody. The defence looks reasonably solid. I must admit, this is one of these cases where, despite the vast stipend you pay me, I can't quite get my finger on what's wrong at Crystal Palace. The manager says all the right things. Maybe they just need one good result to turn it round. But they are typical, Andy, aren't they, of a whole lot of teams in the middle of the Premier League who have to have everything going at 100% to get results against each other and against other teams in the league. And as soon as one bit starts to fall away, they can look pretty ordinary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You see that Theresa May has earned more from outside engagements than any other MP since the last election. This is the one that got me. The World Travel and Tourism Council paid her an eye-watering £107,600 for one speech.
Wow.
I wouldn't pay £10.76 there. Honestly, what value is that? £100,000? What could she say in a speech that's worth £100,000?
Might be like Jimmy Carr. It might be sort of quick-fire gag after gag. Maybe she held that all back.
She danced.
She held that all back on an MP's or Prime Minister's salary and gives it to them all.
Honestly.
On that kind of money. Oh, yeah, there's a big sort of... apparently, you can go online, I think, and check out what your local MP has been making on the side. I mean, very few of them have got a window cleaning round.
No, that's very true, actually. Yeah. I was listening to another radio station yesterday. It's very disloyal of me, but I was in the car. Wow. And
wash your mouth out.
I know. It was the start of Bob Harris's show on Radio 2.
Oh, okay.
And I felt for him, really, because it was a bit like things that happened here. All the equipment that plays the music failed.
Right.
Right at the start of the show.
Which is quite difficult.
That's quite difficult for a music DJ. Yeah.
So what did he do? Did he just sing the ones he was going to play?
No, he just basically talked until they fixed it.
Oh, okay.
Because he is actually a very good broadcaster.
He is, that's so, right. There you go. Yeah. And how long did that take?
Well, about 5 or 10 minutes, I think, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you stay with him?
Well, I love Bob. I'm a big fan.
You stay with him. I thought it was on the other side at that time, but I'm sure they, I'm sure your colleagues feel absolutely delighted.
Well, it was the FA Cup. Third round.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yes, it certainly was. You know, we might talk to Will Mellor about this a little bit later on. This was a little story in one of the papers at the weekend. Apparently, Scooby is the resident cat at Manchester United's training ground.
Is he?
Yeah. He's been at Carrington for a number of years, apparently, and he'll often be seen strolling around reception or with the players in the gym. He's something of a lucky mascot, not, as the case may be.
What happened to Dave from the World Cup?
Well, the dog, we talked about
that. I thought it was a cat, wasn't he?
Oh, he was a cow, sorry, he was a cow. I do get those two confused. I do struggle with those. Yes, that's why he is a cat. He's been held in quarantine, isn't he? I think
he can
come over,
fine.
That's right. And he's not going to go to Manchester United's training ground.
No.
It's John Stones and...
yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
Yeah, Carl Walker's cat. But, yeah, but anyway, do look out for... I don't know if Will has ever seen this particular tabby cat. But he wanders around nibbling biscuits and other treats. Well, yeah, he's a cat. Drinking pints of lager, wouldn't he?
Taylor Swift's cat, though, is worth $81 million. It's been voted the most expensive cat in the world. It's got its own Instagram with millions and millions
tremendous,
of followers,
yeah.
You know, basically. I'm surprised Todd Bowley hasn't tried to buy it for the training ground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why not?
We're struggling with something you should never do outside a convent, Hector Nunes.
Oh, dear.
Who's the snooker correspondent we're going to turn to. So we'll try and catch up with him a little bit later on. So feel free to expand, Andy.
Oh, fine, okay.
If you were what you were going to do later.
Well,
feel
I'm
free to,
quite happy to do
to
that.
Dump on us now. Yes.
This is a good. I've got quite into The Masked Singer. Basically, I've started watching programs I never watched before because the wife likes.
I've got quite into The Masked Singer.
Yeah, and I'm amazed though. It's an intriguing format actually. Who thought of this? Honestly, he came up with the idea. The costumes are good and everything. So
I've noticed the costumes are getting more elaborate and they're a bit more kind of the
Although
nation.
Ali Ross was right. Chris Kamara's outfit was pathetic. Wouldn't even try. It was a sheet.
Oh, was he really?
Rubbish.
Okay.
He was ghost.
Maybe they run the budget ran out as they got Cammy in. I don't know. But like this, I mean, I doubt in the Japanese version, the original version, is it Japanese? I think it is, isn't it? Or I think it comes from the Far East.
I have no idea.
But they wouldn't have like sausage, egg, beans, and chips. So I mean, obviously the outfits are becoming.
I think sushi won there one.
much more of the nation that they appear in. But I've noticed that you got like full English breakfast.
I know.
Who's full English breakfast?
No, baked potato was sensational the other day. But the
phrases you never thought you'd be saying.
Of The Masked Singer thought that piece of cake was Mary Berry. You think, oh, come on, the woman's about 90. Prancing about in a studio in a costume singing. It was Lulu, in fact, actually.
Yeah, well, she's not far off a Mary Berry with respect, is she?
Oh, she's looking tremendous, though. She did do her trademark, though, that thing she always does whenever she's on telly, which I'm not going to do. I'm going to save my throat.
Yeah, I think you may not be able to work again. That
basically,
is quite possible.
It's well. Sung in the style of Lulu.
We've got tomorrow night, Andy. I think you've seen this. We've got the game between Manchester United and Charlton in the Carabao Cup. We're going to bring you that one live at 8 o'clock kickoff. And Dean Holden, the manager at Charlton, he's a massive Manchester United fan, a huge fan.
I saw that,
so he's very excited. And he was telling a little story. He said, my dad, uncle and brother-in-law were all stewards at Old Trafford. And he said, I got let down once with a ticket for the Champions League game with Borussia Dortmund in 1997. However, one of the stewards didn't turn up for the game. So there was a spare high-vis jacket and radio.
So
he blagged it. I wore them and went down and sat next to my old man by the tunnel. God knows what would have happened if there'd been a pitch invasion. Wouldn't have been great, would it?
Wouldn't have been good at all, really.
Yeah, good. Well done, Dean. That's very good. Anyway, that one live for you tomorrow.
That sounds good.
And I've often mentioned before that when it comes to the soaps, the way that Coronation Street does comedy, tends to knock EastEnders into a cop hat.
Always.
And something we always used to point out on TV Burp, whenever they're desperate for something a bit funny, they have a theme night in the Vic. And that when Shane Ritchie left and Alfie Moon wasn't there, they had to find other sources of... That really was the only source of comedy, because it's 99.9% misery, isn't it?
It is, yeah, very true.
So I was delighted to see that this week, there's another theme...
me on this show.
Yeah, theme night in the Vic. It's back. Yeah, it's always great. They say it always lifts the gloom in Albert Square.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, not sure. So yeah, theme night are back. I think it's Richard III theme night. It's not Richard III theme night. 100 Years War theme night. I think it's a Wyan night. I think they've gone for that. Mm. So yeah, look out for some much-needed comedy in EastEnders.
An odd story about the Beckhams today. You see, they're moving from their... They're selling their country pile.
Yeah.
Because apparently it's too noisy. They live quite near the Soho farmhouse. Mm. Apparently the number of cars driving past to get has doubled in 2 years. How many cars can it pick up? Yeah. What was that? Constant cars going to Soho farmhouse.
Are they giving them a toot when they go past?
Yeah, I have no idea.
A Romeo in Brooklyn outside in front of a brazier. Like a couple of striking firemen.
That's good, isn't it? Romeo signed for Brentford. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, normally you
he
get...
He must be quite all right. You know, he must be quite decent.
That's right. Yeah, well, I don't think they would mess around, but I don't think they'd be playing at it. I mean, he's
done
well.
It's the B team, but you never know. You know, they're probably having a good look at him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
These are clips of the week, Pewter, from August 2004. I think it's about as far back as the producer has managed in his... anyway, the background to this is a bunch
all
of...
All the others are on wax cylinders.
I think they are. A bunch of old mini-discs found lying around in the office have been digitised by our producer on his trusty mini-disc player. I think he's got the only working one left in the country. And we're able to play them to you. We've dusted them off. And they're not gold, they're pewter. Well, having said that, there's one or two in here, because obviously August 2004 was a memorable month and a very useful
golden
one.
Golden time.
Yeah, because it's picked up a couple of clips that have made their way into the Christmas Eve show. But anyway, this one hasn't. We haven't heard this since 2004. We haven't heard any of them apart from the obvious ones since 2004. Andy, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, we start with Drive presenter Patrick Kinghorn struggling to get the words out.
From Tony, it says Patrick should apologise for an incorrect sensationalism.
God, well, he was struggling. Mm. And speaking of struggling with words, this is a Christmas Eve staple. It's Graham Beecroft and Alan Brazil watching some of the kayaking during that summer's Olympics in Athens.
But Tim Brabant really pushing hard, and he's now right into the second place rower in that event, the second place paddler. So he's about to take second place, but will the line come too quickly for
him?
Keep going, keep pushing on, and I think that it might be too much for him to get to the line to get a gold. Here's the finishing line coming up. He might just get a silver if he pushes on, will he? Is it a silver? We'll confirm that with you in just a moment. Or indeed, he might not. I might have been looking actually at the two up at the top there. In fact, he didn't get into the show there, so my apologies for that altogether. We're looking at
That was exciting.
It was exciting.
Unfortunately, you were talking about a guy from Azerbaijan.
Just when it was going so well for Alan.
So funny.
Azerbaijan.
Pushing on has become a phrase, isn't it? We use a catchphrase. Yeah. And Alan has always struggled with that particular country.
Have your say first as Adrian Dunham and Gary Stevens will be taking your calls right up till 10 o'clock. I've always got a problem with this. Azerbaijan.
Whilst we're on the subject of some of Alan's historical pronunciations, this was also August 2004. Here he is. Oh, no, I think it was the second time. This is the return
was it?
Of George. Yes, here he is preparing to chat once again to an old friend.
Bring it on. And George Georgogod. George Georgakopoulos.
George Georgogod.
Back to
you're going to have to wait till Christmas Eve to hear the original.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
You didn't do too bad, actually, Alan.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Back to Patrick Kinghorn on Drive now.
It's 4:30. Let's get the latest world headlines with Claire Jenkins. Claire, what's this about Mark Thatcher in court in South Africa over this alleged coup in Equatorial Guinea?
That's right. Well, Baroness Thatcher's son has been formally charged in connection with an alleged plot to overthrow the president of Equatorial Guinea.
Yeah, he just told us that. Slightly ruined the bullet
stole
in there.
Stole her thunder,
Patrick,
didn't he?
Also crossing to the news was Alan Brazil.
Good morning, just gone.
Well, sorry.
So crossing to the news was Alan Brazil.
Now, good morning. Just gone 7:30. Oh, dear. Problems in Russia. Here's Dave.
Ursula here, actually.
Call her, everybody called her Dave in the office. He didn't mind, yeah, different time. Anyway, what's next?
Everybody called her Dave.
No, they didn't. Of course they didn't call her Dave.
Beaky now, discussing, of course, England's left-sided problem.
Mm.
And now, I think we've got to look at a left-sided player. But again, there is no left-sided player. It's a central midfielder operating on the left-hand side. So, you know, question is, can Ashley Cole, Sven, play down that left-hand side?
I love Ashley Cole.
Good old Ashley Cole. Here's a call out, Keith Arthur on Fisherman's Blues with results of a competition.
Darren Davis, yeah.
And Jeff Perrin, Reggie Perrin, drew peg 5. Reggie Perrin, after an hour, had £5 in his net. God. Of branches and twigs. By the end of the match, he'd gone well into double figures, but unfortunately, he couldn't find anything with fins on it.
Reggie Perrin, didn't they find his clothes on the riverbank?
I think they probably did. I'd like to think so, yes. What's next then?
It's back to Beaky and Big Owl talking art.
Thanks very much indeed, Marissa. I tell you what, the Scream Owl, I wouldn't hang it in my garage, would you?
The Scream. Oh, you mean this picture?
Yeah.
Most of these pictures I wouldn't. Give me a bit of landscape. Lovely, or a nice horse. Thoroughbred, fine. But some of this new stuff, oh, forget.
Talk art. Fantastic. Fantastic. Some of the new stuff. The Scream, 1893. All this new stuff. I'm a Beaky. If Beaky did have the Scream hanging in his garage, it'd be in a big old house, I would imagine. Here's Patrick Kinghorn and Tony Cascarino with a guest.
Andy Townsend. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, Pat. Morning, Cash.
How are you doing, Ed?
Very, a bit nervous.
Sorry, go on.
We've all done that.
Go on. Yeah.
This is Alan addressing the day's big issues with Derek Tomo Thompson.
Well, we did have a good day. But let me tell you, sorry, Tom, before you tell us. Yeah. When are they going to sort, right? And Yarmouth, look, they're good as gold when it comes to badges for members. Yeah. When is some dipstick going to sort out when you come through Yarmouth over the bridge and you hang a left and you're about to turn right in the race course? When is someone going to sort out a filter lane? Because all the race traffic's an outside lane. You can't get across the road.
I know.
Especially this time of the year because it's all holiday traffic, holiday makers. All they need is a little green filter arrow let's say, 1 minute. And it'll take most of that traffic away. Honestly, you just can't. People are trying to take chances, and there's nearly accidents galore. But honestly, it's just simple. You know, if anyone just looks at it, because there must be so many frustrated people there who eventually take chances, and I'm sure it causes accidents.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, there's only so many race days at Yarmouth, but if they just put a filter in there for race day traffic, bingo.
And it remains a big story now, doesn't it?
Very much
the
so.
Filter lane in Yarmouth. Did they ever do it? If you live in Yarmouth, has Alan got a point? I mean, it's talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. I mean, it's, you know, you're talking 18 years ago. Was it 19 years ago? Have they sorted it out?
Like they just put a filter in for race days.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, so Alan can get there. So, and finally, it's Alan talking racing.
I've got to be honest, Al, I'm very, very keen on paper talk. In this, were you at Newmarket when Paper Talk made his debut in the July meeting?
No, I wasn't. No,
no, he was probably stuck in traffic at Yarmouth, wasn't he? They're beautiful. There we are. So there we are. That's Alan Brazil there, and quite Alan heavy from back in August 2004, and we'll hopefully dust off a few more from the vaults for you around the same time next week.
Arraigned.
Arraigned. So I'm getting quite posh. keep pushing on. Now, you may be aware...
The idea of Edvard Munch's screaming Beaky's garage. Yeah.
What a fine that would be. Just throw it out. Alan, give it to Alan Brazil. Well, he wouldn't like it. He prefers the landscape. Now, you may be aware there is a new Netflix series, a kind of Drive to Survive for tennis. Mm. Serve to Survive.
Serve to Survive,
it
should be
called. It should be called, but it's not. It's called Breakpoint. I haven't watched any of it. Have you watched any of it?
No, it does sound quite interesting. I mean, Kyrgios is a fascinating bloke anyway, so I think the first one's about him. It sounded quite good.
Well, we'll be chatting to someone later on who has and can kind of get.
As long as it hasn't got too much tennis in it, I'll enjoy it.
Well, it is a tennis documentary, Andy. I mean, I think that's going to be quite difficult.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I'll be back with Charlie to do it all again tomorrow. I do hope you can join us. Charlie Baker, of course. Andy will be back on Wednesday. If you can join us on one, great. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available around 4. Don't forget the Clips of the Week podcast as well. And indeed, the TalkSport Extra Clips of the Week podcast that you can also download.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.